Tonight, I want to talk about something that I've struggled with this week, trying to put together, trying to put it in a way that is encouraging, because it's also challenging. So we're just going to get straight into it. Matthew chapter 16, verse 25. And if you're new to church, Matthew is a disciple of Jesus, a Jesus follower. He is a tax collector, as a professional tax collector. And tax collectors in these days probably had very little friends, because they were liars, cheats, and did some shady stuff. But Jesus didn't come to hang out with the popular people. He came to hang out and change the perception and break some rules and hang out with the people that the world had said were no good. So Matthew chapter 16, verse 25, it says, For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And tonight, my message is called Let It Go. I was going to go a step further and sing the song from Frozen, but I don't want you thinking about that for the next 30 minutes. But I believe we have areas in our life, things in our life, situations in our life that we hold on to that stop us from encountering the fullness of God. And what is the fullness of God? Well, I believe the fullness of God is His mercy, His grace, His peace, His love, His righteousness for us, the joy that we experience when we encounter Him, that if we would just let go of these areas, that we would encounter a whole new life. You know, our human nature is to survive by ourselves, to strive to make it. Through no intentional fault of our own, we've kind of made God redundant in our lives. But we know by reading Jesus' words here that what we think is life is actually not true life. And we know that when we encounter Jesus, when we choose to follow Him, that's when we truly experience life. In the passage, Jesus invites the people to follow Him. Now, this is significant because when a rabbi or a teacher would invite people to follow him, typically it meant that they would trust him or believe in him or come with him. And rabbis typically reserved the invitation of follow me to the cream of the crop, to the people who had it all together, to the people that probably had significance in their community, probably had money, probably had power, probably were friends of friends. But Jesus extended the invitation beyond the qualified, beyond the people that the world saw as better than the others. Jesus invited the tax collectors, the fishermen, people rejected by law and legalism as not good enough to follow them. People who weren't significant enough in the eyes of the world, Jesus, He came to change that, to shift the perception that these people were just as significant as the people that the world said were better than them. And this says a lot about the true nature of God, that He wasn't interested in the rules that were being established. And tonight I want to encourage us that we prepared to let go of the areas in our life that stop us from experiencing His fullness. I'd just love to pray real quick. God, I thank you for the opportunity we have to come together tonight and meet as a community of believers. God, I pray that you'd begin to speak to each and every one of us tonight. Let us be attentive to what you say. And God, I thank you that you're a God that hears prayers and heard my prayer for the Cleveland Cavaliers and that they won the NBA championship on Monday. And God, I pray for Matthew Della de Dover and his negotiations for the contract this year. In your mighty name, amen. I was going to ask at the start, and I kind of forgot, how's everyone's week been? I kind of rushed in a bit. Good. Lawrence has had a good week. Well, I've had a good week. The gym I signed up for still hasn't opened. And I feel fit. I feel good. And I went for a test drive in a Mustang yesterday, and that was fun. But if one fell out of the sky and landed on my driveway, I would not complain at all. Yeah. I've got a pretty big family, right? I've got enough family members that they wouldn't fit on my 10 fingers and 10 toes. I couldn't list my immediate family off. One of my family members is my Uncle James. He's 10 weeks older than me. Now, Uncle James, I never call him Uncle James because it would go to his head. And no, he's a good guy. And he gets married in 4 weeks, which is a miracle in itself. And as we were growing up, we did some pretty dodgy stuff. And we were always getting in trouble from our parents. And this one time, we decided that we would go and blow up our neighbor's or his neighbor's electric gate. And what we did was we went with AA batteries and 9-volt batteries, and this was going to explode and be a bomb. And it didn't work, so we got out the wire cutters and started cutting the wires, and we later found out that we were one cut away from killing ourselves, so praise God that we're here tonight. And another time we decided to race each other down a hill on bikes, and I was on his bike and he had another bike, and I decided that I'd got enough speed up on the hill that I could stop pedaling, so I've rested my feet on the fork of the front wheel. And now somehow my foot has slipped off and entered the spoke, and it's done like a 270 degrees. It couldn't go 360 because my foot was stopping it. So the bike kind of whoosh, went over the top, and I've come off over the front of the handlebars and cut my head up, and we've walked down to the house, and my auntie, who's 2 years older than me, had just done a girl guide's first aid course, so she was suitably qualified to look after me. She would have been like 10. So she rips out this alcohol swab. I've got this gash on my face, and she's boosh. It was actually more pain from the alcohol swab than it was from falling off the bike. And another time, we went out to my grandparents' motel in Dirranbandi, his parents' motel in Dirranbandi. If you don't know where Dirranbandi is, neither does Google, but it is near a place called St. George. But I decided, like all good grandchildren at the age of 9 that are staying at their grandparents' motel, that I should go into their bar. And I thought that it was a good time in my life to start smoking. So I've gone behind the bar and taken a packet of cigarettes, and I've started smoking these cigarettes. Long behold, the first packet's gone, and I decide it's time to get a second packet, and James needs to join in on this newfound thing of smoking. So we smoke a couple more packets, and eventually we have another great idea that we should start smoking in our bedroom that we were staying in. And I invite my mum in a couple of days later after we'd been smoking in this room. And I said, "Mum, does this room smell? Like, can you smell anything?" She's like, "Oh, what do you mean, Rob?" I was like, "Oh, I don't know. It kind of smells like smoke to me." She's like, "Oh, yeah, a little bit." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, okay." And she's like, "Rob, why are your lips like red? Like, it looks like you got windburn on your lips." "Oh, no, nothing, Mum, nothing." She's like, "No, seriously, what's going on?" I wasn't buying into it. She checked the bins in the room, and we'd left the wrappers of some of the cigarettes in the bins. And Mum kind of goes, "What's going on?" And I said, "It wasn't me. James is under the table there, and he's got a cigarette in his mouth, and he's smoking." Mum rips the bed open, and there's James just in the corner. And I say all this because in those moments, or specifically in Dirranbandi, there was an issue in my life. There was an area of my life that I had that was stopping me from encountering the fullness of the love that Mum had for me. She was obviously disappointed and hurt in what I had done, but if I wasn't prepared to let that go, then that was going to affect that relationship from here on in. And there's a young man in the Bible. He's known as the rich young ruler, arguably the most eligible bachelor in the Bible. I mean, this guy's got money, he's got power, he's probably a celebrity. If he was on Facebook, he would have more likes than me or Slater or anyone else. But this guy, he runs to Jesus. He has an encounter with Jesus. And Jesus points out this one area of his life that is stopping him from encountering the fullness of God. And we read in Mark chapter 10, verse 17 to 31, and I'm going to skip a little bit tonight for the sake of time. He says, "And as he was setting out on his journey, he being Jesus, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, 'Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother.' And he said to them, 'Teacher, all these things I have done.' And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, 'You lack one thing. Go and sell all you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. And come, follow me.' Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And they were exceedingly astonished, they being Jesus' disciples, and said to him, 'Then who then can be saved?' And Jesus looked at them and said, 'With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God.' Peter, another disciple of Jesus, began to say to him, 'See, we have left everything and followed you.' Jesus said, 'Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last and the last first.'" Now you have to understand the context of who this young man was. And rich people in these times, and by the way, we're all rich by the world standards because we have access to like clean water, food, shelter, clean clothing, sanitation. But yet, the rich people in these times weren't, they didn't run. That was very out of character for someone to run to another person, especially rabbis or teachers. And then we have another thing that is totally out of the ordinary for a rich person is that he would collapse at the feet of Jesus and begin to have a conversation with him. And I think the intention was good. Like if you're running to Jesus, clearly you know that there's something good going on and he sought eternal life, which I think is a great thing. And tick the box there, he was on the money. But his conversation with God kind of falls apart a little bit when he goes, good teacher. And Jesus pulls him up. He goes, well, hey, hang on. There's no one good except God alone. And the young guy's like, yeah, whatever. And we know that the young man wasn't acknowledging that Jesus was God, that the issue was that the young guy thought that goodness was existing in the world, that it was present in the world, and in turn he, as a rich person, could be good. And it's funny because when you think you're inherently good, to find out that you're not good makes the gospel, the good news, seem not as good as it really is. And Jesus then lists the commandments. He lists 6 of the 10, I think the easy 6, like do not steal, do not murder, honor your mother and father. Like they're easy. Like let's be honest. If none of us here, hopefully, are going to go kill someone tomorrow. And then the young guy goes, "Yeah, I've done all those things." And clearly, Jesus just didn't want to touch the other 4. And then Jesus says, "You lack one thing," but he lacked the other 4 as well. And it wasn't even a commandment that Jesus was prepared to have a conversation about. He says, "Go and sell your possessions and give it to the poor." It was an area in his life, in this young man's life, that was preventing him from encountering Jesus. He would rather have the possessions than the relationship. The invitation of follow me was extended to the young man, but he would rather be presented with a to-do list of how he could inherit eternal life than rather to let go and trust God. The young man failed to realize that Jesus came that we may have life and life to the fullest. John 10:10. Says the thief comes only to steal, kill and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and life to the full. But in order to experience this, the young man needed to let go of the area that he wasn't prepared to. You know, God isn't after people who would just love him for the eternal prize, but he's actually after people who would choose to love him and acknowledge who he really is. People who are prepared to let go of what the world says we need to have. If we see Jesus as a supplement like this young man is, where we could improve portions of our life instead of giving us an entirely new life, we fail to understand who Jesus really is. It's always been an invitation to have a relationship with God. Just like the verses in Matthew and Mark, it was a follow me. The choice has and always will be ours. Religion, I guess, has painted a picture that God is wielding a stick and desperate that, you know, he's going to try and beat us to come to him. But that's not even close to the nature of him. The relationship's never been forced. It's always been a, would you follow me? Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. Another story of two people that one actually worked out how to have an encounter with Jesus and the other was too occupied with serving to realize that to have an encounter with him, she kind of just had to take the foot off the accelerator and make room. Now, as they were on their way, Jesus entered a village and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And Jesus had a sister, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." You see, Martha was preoccupied with a to-do list. She wanted things to do instead of sitting at the feet of Jesus. She would rather try and impress Jesus with the hospitality than just to sit and listen. Her perception of being good and doing things to impress Jesus prevented her from actually experiencing him, encountering him. The good portion that she missed out on was to follow me. It was the trust me, the believe in me, the just come sit, come listen. Let's just do life together. Real quick, I've got a couple of minutes to do applications. How can we let go? What do we need to do? Number one, to let go, we need to listen. Martha's desire to serve meant that she missed the conversation with Jesus. When I read this, I just like, what was the conversation that she missed? Like, if you had an opportunity to sit with the Savior of the world, but you'd rather go and prepare a drink or some food, man, what a conversation that you've probably just missed out on. She was distracted by the to-do list. She wasn't prepared to let go of the thing in her life that was stopping her experiencing Jesus. Number two, how can we let go? Well, we need to make room. Martha wasn't prepared to let go of serving her guests. I mean, Jesus, he didn't even ask her to go and prepare anything. She just assumed that that's what she had to do. Striving and being self-sufficient isn't what Jesus sought. He wanted the conversation. He wanted the relationship. And we need to make room for him to outwork in our lives. Number three, how can we let go? Well, we just need to trust him. When we listen to the follow me, we need to start trusting Jesus as well. And it's a journey, and we have to be open to what he wants to do in our lives. It's time to release what we think is perfect and just begin to experience the fullness, the love, the mercy, the grace of a relationship with God. We know that the kingdom of God obviously works in the release, and finances is a great area of to see that when we release, we begin to experience the overflow from God, like what Jared said tonight when Jesus would open the floodgates of heaven on us. But it's only when we let go, when we release. Tonight I want to encourage us that Jesus poses the invitation, the follow me. Just as the original followers of Jesus were invited to follow him, so too are we. People who don't deserve a follow me, people like you, there's people in this room that don't deserve this. But Jesus, he was interested in us. He was interested in posing the question, posing the statement of follow me. But are we prepared to let go? Are we prepared to make room? Are we prepared to respond to the follow me? Knowing that the promises of Jesus is both now and eternal. Tonight you may be sitting here and you're thinking that you don't deserve this. And if we're honest, none of us do. But I guess that's what makes the gospel, the good news, the story of Jesus so amazing. None of us get what we deserve. But we get eternal grace. We get mercy. We get forgiveness. We get the open invitation, the follow me. If everyone would just close their eyes. Tonight, you may be sitting here and I don't know your story, but I believe that you're here for a purpose. I believe that you're here because Jesus wants to meet with you where you're at. And I guess tonight, if you haven't worked it out, from the outset of creation, things have been stacked in our favor. I mean, God created the heavens and the earth, and he created us, and it was all ours. But in true human nature, we pursued the one thing that we couldn't have. And in that moment where we encountered the one thing that we weren't supposed to have, the relationship between us and God was broken. But God, knowing he's perfect, knew that we couldn't interact the same way, so he had these 10 instructions, these 10 commandments made that we would be able to experience his fullness and the life that he has for us again if we could fulfill them. And again, humanity, we just let ourselves down. None of us could fulfill that. So God had another rescue plan, his son Jesus, the Son of God, who didn't come to abolish the 10 things that God had instructed us to do, but rather to fulfill them. And in fulfillment of that, we are now seen as righteous by God. Tonight, I believe Jesus is extending the invitation to everyone here, the follow me. That if we would just respond, if we would just be prepared to push aside the things in our life that are stopping us from encountering him, that he will meet us where we are at. And if you've never responded to the follow me before, you've never heard about the story of Jesus, the amazing story of grace and forgiveness and mercy, and you would like to experience the fullness of God in your life, that all these things, all the attributes of God that make him so amazing. For the first time, if you would like to experience that, enter a relationship with Jesus, I just invite you to lift your hand. And what I believe this is, it's an outward expression of what's happening internally in your heart. Is there anyone here tonight? Yeah, I see that hand. That's awesome. Why don't you put it up? You can put it back down. Anyone else? God loves you. He's not wielding a stick. The invitation is just trust me. It's as simple as it gets. Just trust me. There's another group of people here tonight that I want to pray for. Maybe you've responded to the invitation of follow me before. You've followed God for a season of your life, but for whatever reason, He's no longer at the center of who you are. But Jesus he just wants to extend the invitation again. It's like, that's cool. Come back. You can come back. Just trust me again. Just believe in me again. Just follow me again. If that's you tonight, you've had a relationship with God before, but for whatever reason, you no longer do, but you would like to, why don't you raise your hand as well? I see that hand. Anyone else? God, I thank you for each person that has responded tonight. God, I pray that you would solidify the decision that they have just made. God, maybe there are people here tonight that didn't lift up their hands but wanted to make a decision. Jesus, I pray that you would begin to reveal yourself in their life, that they would begin to experience your fullness, your love, your joy, your peace, your grace, all these things, God, that they may begin to see you at work in their life. We're just going to put a prayer up on the screen. We're going to pray it together as a family, because that's what we are at church. We're a family. You ready? Three people are ready. Cool. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I will follow you. Amen. Well, thank you for being very attentive tonight, and thanks for coming out in the cold. We appreciate it. And make sure you check out an after party tonight. They're going to go off. Where are they, Slater? Macca's. Grill. Coffee Club. Gelatissimo's out. It's too cold. But we would love to see you there. There's skewers. There's skewers as well. So, righto, we're going to go out praising God and have a blessed week, and we'll see you next Sunday.